Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. As river development continues along the banks of the Arkansas, debate continues on what the Arkansas River should look like within its riverbed. Opinions vary from full-scale development of a lake-like river with water taxis and boating to others who say leave the river in its natural state. My guests today have written and contributed a foreword to a book designed to tell the history of Tulsa's relationship with the Arkansas, as well as stimulate discussion about the river's future development or preservation. The Tulsa River is authored by Ann Patton, a former reporter and consultant on urban affairs and water management issues. She's my guest today, along with former Tulsa Mayor Robert J. LaFortune, who contributed the foreword and was mayor of the city from 1970 to 78 and was mayor when River Parks was first developed. They'll be participating in a conversation about our river heritage, which will also serve as a book launch, this coming Monday evening at 6:30 at the Tulsa Historical Society, where they'll also be joined by former Mayor Susan Savage and former Public Works Director Charles Hart for a frank discussion on the future of the Arkansas River here at Tulsa. Ann and Robert, thanks very much for joining us here on Studio Tulsa. Thanks for being here.
Rich, thank you for having us and the discussion itself.
Yeah, we're talking about the Tulsa River, and this is a frequent subject because we're taking more interest in the river. And Ann, you've written this book, which outlines the history of our relationship in our community with the Arkansas River. What was the reason for writing this book?
Well, there are a lot of reasons why I wrote this book. It is a curious book, I know, but there's a lot of discussion about our river now. And I wanted, first, to understand it more fully myself, and second, to help foster a deeper and broader community discussion about the river, because I think the more we understand the history and the nature of the river and our community's relationship with the river, the more we understand, the more deeply we understand, the better decisions our community will make.
Mm. Now, Mayor LaFortune, as we go back through our history, we've kind of had a love-neglect relationship with the Arkansas River, and perhaps there was some hate in there at times in the early years. You have a long history about this river from creating river parks, but even before that, when the river was an obstacle to development in the days when we were talking about building bridges over the river to pretty much benign or malignant neglect of the river. What are your thoughts about our relationship with the river over time?
Well, I think the interest in the river has certainly waned and risen through the years. My secretary at City Hall in the 60s and 70s worked earlier for a commissioner who had a vision of river development back in the maybe late 30s, early 40s. But frankly, the question had really kind of lain fallow for many years. When I was when I was a commissioner, or early when I was a mayor, the city commissioned the architectural firm of Hudgens, Thompson, and Ball to do a master plan for river development. And it configured three dams as the present options seem to be, one upstream at Sand Springs, one at Midtown Tulsa, and one lower in the Jenks area. It was, frankly, a very good study. It foresaw active development as rather just passive things, too. Other than a little money that was put in the 69 failed omnibus issue of the city, there was never any effort to fund anything on the river other than that one effort. So we kind of drifted along after that with occasional interest, but, frankly, the priorities of the city always took precedent. And there didn't seem to be any achievable development plans that could be afforded. So money was always a big problem, and there wasn't any leadership interest from the city after we did the HTB study to do anything about it.
Mm. Now, if you can take us even further back in history, and since you've researched this maybe too, what was our relationship with the river, say, during the first half of the 20th century? Was it a matter of a body of water we have to cross over? Was there any thought of navigability? I mean, because in the post-war era, at least, you started talking about this inland navigation of the Arkansas.
Let's go back a little earlier.
Okay.
One of the things I found out that I've enjoyed learning about the river is it starts in Colorado,
yeah.
which I think most
mm-hmm.
people don't know. Starts up in the Snowpack Mountains, Rocky Mountains. It is one of the longest rivers in the United States and in North America, actually. And it goes more than 1,400 miles long. But the river actually is older than the Rocky Mountains. And then if you bring it kind of forward quickly in time, it was the gathering place for prehistoric animals. There are elephant teeth even today that people find in that riverbed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, of course, there were actually steamboats on the river in the 1800s. It was a major means of transportation. And then bring it forward into the 20th century, as you said. The river both divided us and brought us together. It really, I think, is the reason mankind moved to this area, period. It's the reason there is a here.
Uh-huh.
When you look at Tulsa, and our relationship with the river, I think, is fascinating. It's another reason I was delighted to write this book, because it's such a great story about how our community and the river have interacted with each other. And I think we've learned a lot from the river, and we still have much to learn.
How does the river divide us?
So there was no way to get across the river,
yeah.
except by when it was low or by ferry boat until, I think, 1904. When they built the first
it was a bridge.
It was a toll bridge, and it was an amazing engineering feat at the time, absolutely.
And then around 1920, you're starting to see free bridges, and that was a major issue in early Tulsa politics. But
right.
but once the city's developed and the car is now the way to get around the city, you know, there's a couple of bridges. But, you know, other than the industrial development along the river, there really was no thought about the river, was there?
It's a great psychic divide also. I grew up in West Tulsa.
Hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I can tell you that we were on the other side of the river in many respects, and going across the river to come into what I'm going to call Tulsa proper was a big deal. So I think it definitely has been a psychic divide. But I also think it has brought us here and brought us together in ways that I'd like to talk about a little more fully. But it didn't really answer your question, as usual. That actually was the source of Tulsa's drinking water in the 20s. So before Spavinaw, that's right. And everybody around was drinking bottled water.
That's right. They weren't drinking that water, hopefully.
So that's right, although I'm sure some people had to, and there were some wells. But the joke was that if you took a bath in Arkansas River water, you had to dust yourself off afterwards because it's an unusually silty river, something that we do need to remember.
And that's something we need to remember today as we talk about maybe actually developing the riverbed itself with the ideas of the low water dams, and we'll get into that in a moment. I want to turn back to the former mayor of Tulsa, Robert J. LaFortune, who was mayor when river parks first began to take shape, correct?
Yes, I think the HTB study that I referred to earlier was a kind of a catalyst in the thinking to get some entity at the county or city level to look at river development, at the potential, and at least managing some of the shoreline aspects of it. The gift of the Missouri Pacific Railroad, of the railroad bridge, focused a lot of attention on the river at the time that was done. That railroad could no longer operate their trains across 31st Street and uptown. So it became available as a gift. And a friend of mine, Herb Gussman, I played a lot of golf with Herb through the years. He was on the board of the Missouri Pacific, and he persuaded them that they should gift it. It was also an economic benefit to the railroad because they would have otherwise had to tear it down or take it out, which would have been very costly. So I think that having a pedestrian crossing of the river, other than the traffic bridges that we had at 21st Street or 11th, was a real positive signal for river interest and development.
Let me ask you, prior to the beginnings of the trails and the pedestrian bridge, did Tulsans use the riverbank? I imagine there were people going out and fishing in the river from time to time. I mean, they still do it today. I would think they would have been doing it back then. But was there any sort of recreational aspect around the river prior to the development of the pedestrian bridge and the beginnings of the trail system?
I don't remember any during my lifetime, which started back in the late 20s. I think one of the reasons, though, was the water quality itself. The water that was coming downstream from western Oklahoma was very saline.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself made it not too attractive for swimming. The other thing, of course, that happened as the city got developed is that all of their stormwater outlets dumped into the river. And just as a part of city development, a lot of illegal cross-connections of the sanitary sewers of many individual developments ended up going into the stormwater system. So that caused an additional element to the salt that I've just mentioned.
And of course, you know, just upstream, there's been a couple of Superfund sites in the river, in the floodplain in Sand Springs and along the line. That was all heavy industrial development.
That's right. The industrial development was a third element that, mm-hmm. that caused a contribution to the unsatisfactory water quality.
So I'm guessing it was really the Clean Water Act that began focusing attention on maybe as the water quality began to improve in the 1970s, this sort of spurred interest in thinking of the river as a potential attraction as opposed to a detriment. I mean, we're lucky that, unlike Cleveland, the Arkansas River never caught on fire, but that was, we have to remember, that was the plight of American rivers in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, no doubt the environmental federal attention to water quality was a big factor because it forced at least municipalities to do something. And it put the industries under a looking glass as far as their effluence into the river. But our problem as a city, because as a commissioner I was over the storm sewer system, our problem was that just the virtual runoff of stormwater in itself is a huge pollutant.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can imagine all the traffic that that you generate, the grease and the oil and gasolines that are spilled accidentally end up as part of your stormwater quality. And that is continuing today to be a negative factor. And there's virtually no economic benefit that I know of that is achievable by addressing the stormwater quality.
Well, take us back when river parks actually took off. You had this study. It envisioned three low-water dams. One was constructed in Sand Springs, and I don't know if this was part of the river parks or this was a different core project, but there was one constructed in Sand Springs and was later torn out, and then another one at 31st. And really, it's one of the benefits of the river park system is the fact that you have a lot of natural areas along the trail system. Anne, you want to jump in?
I will start this story for Mr. LaFortune to finish. Mm-hmm. So the river parks was a birthday present to Tulsa.
Oh.
Given to Tulsa, dreamed up, I don't think he'll take credit, by Mayor LaFortune and a couple of other people. I think it's a wonderful story. So how was this
a birthday present to the city of Tulsa?
Well, I don't know that there was any flash of light that, that came first. I think just our general discussions resolved that we needed an authority that went beyond just the city commission's work. They weren't going to have the time to look as like a huge new park system, so to speak. And the Tulsa Park Department had its hands full doing its own business. So it just seemed like we should focus attention on the river through an authority that could have at least some minor funding and take care of some of the facelifting kinds of things that might be able to be done to make it usable. Your early remark, though, about whether people ever use the river along the riverbanks, to my recollection, that has never been a reality in Tulsa. So the River Authority, with Len Eaton as the first chairman, very interested, very energetic. He had the power in the city establishment to get attention to this. So that first authority got things underway, and we got a little funding in, and they were a factor in doing some of the passive developments that occurred, though maybe upstream is not much past New Block Park, and downstream probably not much past 51st Street. But at least it gave us a start at seeing what the passive developments could be like.
And that meant building trails, a lot of natural ways for people to enjoy the natural scenery around the river, right?
It was mostly occasional benches and pedestrian trails and lighting.
Uh-huh.
Because we had had some criminal acts along the river. We had one murder at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So lighting became a responsibility that the city got behind and got funded. And just the maintenance of the river areas that enthusiasts could use, mowing and just the minor things that you could at least kind of make it usable.
Was it a surprise to, say, the City Hall that once these improvements were made that people started flocking to the river? Or was it a much longer process than we tend to think about today where people, you know, today the river is extremely popular. Anytime there's a nice day, there are people getting in their cars and heading to river parks to be a part of this atmosphere. Was it a long process or did it happen
it was
pretty quick?
Probably a long process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it came because you'd get a little funding to do this and a little funding to do that. And those things would attract more people. And so, as you say, it was very gradual how it came on.
My guests today are the former mayor of Tulsa, Robert J. LaFortune, who oversaw the first developments of river parks. Ann Patton is an author and specialist on urban and water issues, and she is the author of, I said it was a book, but it's kind of like a combination of a softcover book and a glossy magazine, which tells the story of the Tulsa River. It's the Tulsa River. She's put together a bunch of essays about the river and has some contributors as well. There'll be a conversation about the Tulsa River and its heritage Monday evening at 6:30 at the Tulsa Historical Society, which will include my two guests today, along with former Mayor Susan Savage and Charles Hart from the City Works Department. And that'll be Monday evening at 6:30 as we talk about the Tulsa River. Well, let's talk about where we are today. Since that beginning with river parks, we've seen tons of natural development and enhancements to the natural beauty of the river with trails, you know, wonderful outlooks where people can just sit and watch the river flow by. Of course, recreation from everything from rugby fields to disc golf to volleyball courts to some development, commercial development along the river. Now we're at this stage with the gathering space that this is going to be a major development along the river and a major expansion on the banks of the river. But right now the debate is over what's going to be in the river. Let's talk a little bit about that. And from what I can see in your book, there's real no consensus in Tulsa yet on what the river itself should look like.
I think it's a little early for consensus. I think we need a lot more conversation, and I'm delighted with the sort of conversations that we've been having this morning about the river and our relationship with the river. One of the things you mentioned, what is this book? I call it a coffee table book at an affordable price. So it has 110 color pictures. I'm honored that Mayor LaFortune did a foreword for this book. And one of the things I did was, in addition to speaking about the sort of natural and civic history, and I want that sounds so ponderous. What I mean is a collection of stories about our river heritage and our relationship with the river. I began to talk to people about the river, and I was able to interview about 30 people, and I wish I could have interviewed 150 more. And I was surprised how many people have strong feelings about the river, and they're all thoughtful. Everybody I talked to is very thoughtful, and I would say that they range from leave the river alone to let's make it fully developed and an economic development arm of the city. To me, those are kind of the
goalposts, if you will.
And I do believe under the very excellent leadership of G.T. Bynum and the city council and the city, the way they're framing the discussion, I do think that this town will get to consensus. And maybe it'll be as early as next year, maybe not.
We were talking about this as a coffee table book. Maybe it's a sort of a conversation starter, too.
I hope so. That's exactly what I want to do. I don't want to say starter. It's not as if the conversation isn't already going on. I want to help foster thoughtful conversations about the river.
Well, let's talk about some of the concerns somewhere in between the two goalposts of leaving the river alone and a full development. One of the things I hear a lot of people talk about, let's build a dam so we'll have a series of lakes, and so there'll be water in the river, you could sail, and yes, that can happen, but it's going against, from what I hear from environmentalists, it's going against the grain of the river. The river is a prairie river. It's supposed to have times a year when it's nothing but sand and other times when it should be bank full.
Well, you know, I'm not an expert on much of anything. Uh-huh. That doesn't mean that I don't have opinions. and they're based on listening, talking to experts, really. And I do have strong opinions about floodplain management. Mm-hmm. And I do think any compromise we make with, let's speak of the river, any compromise we make with the river's natural function is not going to last forever. I do think ultimately, as they taught me in Argentina, the river always wins. Sooner or later, the river is going to decide what it has to do. And so, but how much we compromise on that in order to meet our own needs is, in the short term, a community decision. Mm. In the long haul, maybe not so much.
Mayor LaFortune, let me ask you, what is your own vision of what you'd like to see the river look like 5-10 years down the road?
Well, I'm mostly an advocate of passive developments.
Passive developments, what do you mean by that?
And that probably means it might be nice to have the scenic pools of water created by dams. I don't think it's the ultimate need. My impression is development along the river that would maybe take away some of the bank growth, but have just the opportunity for people to walk, to run, to bicycle, to sit, to picnic, and those are, to me, passive developments. Charles Hart has reminded us of the power of the river and the always present potential for the perfect storm that would flood any development along the banks. And we've encountered that in a certain extent in the big flood in the 80s.
86, uh-huh.
And that was should have been a warning probably that even though the lower Arkansas around the city didn't get into a big crisis, there were lots of other areas upstream that did. So at any rate, that to me puts a little bit of a collar on what kind of development at all that should take place still in the floodplain of the river. You probably have to draw a new floodplain. I'm not even sure there is one that's identified today that inhibits building. So that would be an important aspect of our study. So I'm kind of in between where Ann is on developments. I still have an open mind on some development, but it's got to be protected against this so-called perfect storm.
Right. You know, and the thing that we have to remember, in 86, there was a widespread thought that the construction of Keystone Dam made flooding a thing of the past in the Arkansas and Tulsa, because prior to Keystone Dam, flooding along in Tulsa and Sand Springs along the line was a semi-regular occurrence. It happened, you know, in times of high rainfall. And I think the thought that Keystone Dam would make that a thing of the past, 86 told us that it's, you know, Mother Nature can still overwhelm our facilities. So how should we take into account the fact that this river can be, you know, a place of disaster as well as a great place of recreation and development?
Well, the goal for me is to be smart. Let's be smart. Let's recognize the reality of the river, not fool ourselves and pretend that it's going to be like a little concrete channel that we can say, okay, the water's going to stay where we tell it to. So let's be smart. Let's recognize reality and figure out ways to live very well in harmony with this river. And, you know, we've talked about the way the river divides us and the problems of flooding and those issues. But we haven't really touched on the great opportunity and promise of this river.
What is the opportunity and promise for you?
How fortunate we are to have a town with this river. I mean, there are lots of towns that do little pretend rivers. and in order to, you know, as the poet said, I have a need of water near. To be near the water, to be near this life source. I was so inspired by the groundbreaking for the Gathering Place because it made me understand the potential of this river to draw our town together. Our town is very divided in many ways, and in some ways getting worse, I think. Mm-hmm. And what could draw us together? Mm-hmm. The educational system, maybe. I think that's a major theme. But think if the river was a series of parks where everybody in town felt that it was their park and they could all come together to this. Think of the vision of that. And I want to say one more thing about 86. The reason we didn't have much damage in Tulsa was because of river parks. Mm. So there was, as I recall, $67 million in damage in 86 in this county. Very little in Tulsa. But the river parks was all underwater. And they pretty much, they've told me it was a little more complicated than this, but they pretty much hosed it off and we were back in business. Oh, yeah. If you put buildings on all that open space without recognizing the river, then in time we're going to be sorry.
Yeah.
I'd rather see it a place that pulls us together, as I think you have said in the past, Mr. LaFortune. Some, you know, there needs to be some mix, but it needs to be smart. Yeah. And in harmony with the river.
I think it is a discussion that the city collectively needs to have and has come up with a consensus, because I think as long as there's a lot of divided opinion, we can't move forward. And I think this is one of the things your book is doing, and also about this conversation on Monday evening. What will you hope comes out of this conversation Monday evening? Obviously, just a start.
Look at the quality of the people who are going to be there. The grandfather, as some people call him, of River Parks, Mayor LaFortune. And I could give him many other names too. I was a reporter covering him in City Hall in the years when he was mayor, and I watched him like a hawk because I just knew I was going to be the reporter who discovered that he was not as good as everybody said. But you know what? He was better than everybody said. Susan Savage, who led the city in as mayor in some of the most interesting and creative periods of our time, and Charles Hart. Who knows more about floodplain management and the river and this town? He knows more about it than anybody else. So think of putting the three of them on a panel to talk about the river and our community and their future visions. Is that cool or what?
Yeah. Ann Patton, Robert LaFortune, thanks so much for joining us.
Rich, thank you for having the discussion.
Author Ann Patton and former Tulsa Mayor Robert J. LaFortune talking about the future of Tulsa River development, which is the focus of Patton's book, The Tulsa River. There'll be a conversation about our river heritage, which will also serve as a book launch for the new book, this coming Monday evening at 6:30 at the Tulsa Historical Society, where Mr. LaFortune, Ann Patton, former Mayor Susan Savage, and former Public Works Director Charles Hart will discuss the future of river development. That's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.